First reading is from Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The second reading is Mark 10, and that can be found on page 877. It's Mark 10, verse 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Wow. That's what I have to say. Wow. For those of you that haven't heard, last week Ken announced that that Charity and I will be moving on from this church. And while we're sad, we're also really excited. And Ken promised that I'd fill in some more details when I preach. So before we get into the sermon, I'd just like to read a little bit that I wrote in that idea. I remember a little over 5 years ago, I was relatively new to Philly. I didn't even know that Olney existed. I came into Philly for a job interview and met Krista, and who was at that time a brand new face, and she showed me around. And I remember when she brought me in here, looking around and seeing the pipe organ, seeing the stained glass windows, and thinking, wow, I hope I get this job. I'd love to preach in this church. Wow. Look at it now. And now I stand before you, very possibly preaching the last sermon I'll preach at this church. Well, maybe I'll get to come back and visit, but it'll be the last sermon for certainly a long time. This church has been our home these last 5 years, and you've provided well for us. You've allowed us to share the blessings with a seminary friend and to help take care of my mother. Your family. You've seen us through some momentous occasions in our lives. You're the church that we started our marriage in. I proposed in the man's living room in front of the fireplace. We will never forget this church. When I first came here, I had no idea of the life I would live, the people I would meet, the lives that I would share. I wish I could mention all of you up here, but we'd be here all day. Sean reminded me that there's an Eagles game, and I replied that the Patriots don't play until 8 tonight. But just know that I wish I could mention all of you, but I won't. This church has been incredible. We've all served together, the VBSs, the pancake breakfasts, outreach day, choir, children's ministries, youth ministries, fundraisers, and I'm sure there's other stuff I'm forgetting. You've been a pleasure to serve with. You work hard and you have a right heart, and your work hasn't been in vain. You know, I know a lot of you don't always get to have the deep conversations with the kids that I get to, but I can tell you, without a doubt, there are children who know Jesus today because of this church and because of the love that you've shown them. And we've had great fun doing it. We've enjoyed our time together, our fun times of fellowship, little conversations in the hallway. I know you well, and I love you all. Call and write. Now, we're excited about our new church. It's going to be very different. It's the only Protestant church in a town of 500. in the southeast corner of Minnesota. It's about 20 minutes away to the big city of La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's just over an hour to Charity's parents, so that's really exciting. It's the perfect distance. She's close, but not too close. And she'll be back in the NFC North, which is, she's really excited about. We're a little nervous about Charity, though. You know, she's very sweet, but after 5 years here, she's picked up a little bit of the Philly toot. I don't know, she might bowl those Minnesotans over. Me, there's no hope. I grew up in the small city of Hartford, Connecticut, smack between Boston and New York. I went to college in Chicago and then served here in Philadelphia. What do I know about living in a town of 500? I really have no clue. One elder there told me it was like stepping into a Norman Rockwell painting, whatever that means. It's going to be different. It's a good thing that I majored in missions, and hopefully there'll be a forgiving congregation. The people there are good and they love Jesus. There's families in the church. There's a desire to reach the community for Christ. And in many ways, a neighborhood church in Philadelphia is very much like a small town church. Because neighborhoods are like small towns. Everybody knows what everybody else is doing. But most of all, I believe that this is my calling. I've studied hard and I've practiced to become a senior pastor. And many of you have affirmed this call in my time here and this week. And I'm so grateful. I think the Zion Evangelical Church in Brownsville, Minnesota will be a good church for me to develop my craft, to learn how to be a pastor. You know, I've already had to learn some lessons. I was joking with Bill McEwen. I'm sorry to pick again on you, Bill, but I was joking with Bill McEwen this past week that I might have to start wearing ties all week. And he said that I should start with wearing big boy pants. He's right. It's going to be a change, but we're excited. It's each day it hits me more and more that this is a flock of people that God's entrusting to me, and I covet your prayers. I want to thank you, First Presbyterian Church of Almy, for being the people that you are. You've been welcoming, loving, and caring. I've enjoyed our meals together, both here at the church and in smaller gatherings. I've enjoyed friendships that I hope continue. Friend me on Facebook. I've enjoyed serving together, working together, living together, trying to impact our little corner of Philadelphia. And I love Almy, and I care about Almy. Thank you, Almy Presbyterian. Now, I know some of you came not to hear me talk and to hear the word preached, so let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the most exciting things that we've experienced this week, you never know how people are going to react. You know, you hope that it'll be a mixture of a little bit of sadness and a little bit of excitement and not too much of, thank goodness, we were just waiting for you to leave. Luckily, we haven't heard much of that. No, none at all. But this church has been great. I've known that you'll be sad to see us go, but you're excited for what's going to be coming. And that's a wonderful, it makes us feel like we're part of the church, the way you're sending us off, and I want to thank you for that, seriously. Now, I also know that some are anxious. Charity and I have served a lot. We've done a lot of stuff around here. And I'm not so naive as to think that us leaving won't leave a void. That'll be the case. There may have to be programs that need to be cut. But I also remember about 4 years ago when Pastor Bruce announced that he was leaving, and a lot of people were nervous, and a lot of people were anxious about what was going to come next, and what the next step would be, and people stepped up. The church grew in numbers, and people invested their time, and I think that we're a richer church for having gone through that, and I hope that you'll agree. So my sermon today, well, you heard the passages, but it's not going to be a guilt trip. I don't want to come to you and say, oh, these things are so important, you need to invest. I mean, it's true, they are important, and you need to invest. But that's not the point of the sermon. The point of the sermon is, when you do invest, when you do step up, sometimes you'll have rough days. And this sermon is to remind you why we do it. Why do we do the work that we do? Our first passage that Howard read in Matthew. Don't lay up treasures for yourself here on earth where rust and moth consume and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be too. You know, I've spent a lot of time this week contemplating how quickly time goes and how quickly things fade. You know, I one of the things I've enjoyed about being at an old church like this is just all the beautiful ornamentation that's going on. And a lot of times you guys might notice there's plaques underneath each of these windows. Some of them you can read and some of them you can't. This is what people invested in. And time and moth and rust have wiped off some of those names so that they're very hard to read. But what they gave lasts. As we've been packing up, it's been amazing how much stuff we've gotten rid of. How much stuff we've had sitting around that it was worth keeping when it was work to throw it out. But when it came down to a choice between do we take this with us and pay to move it or do we let it go, how many things we can let go. It's amazing. Life is short and things don't matter. And yet we tend to think that they do. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but there's a thing that I've seen on Facebook where they'll show a picture of something old, like a landline telephone, and they'll say, like, if you remember this. And if you remember what it's like to use a rotary phone or something like that, you're supposed to hit like and say, I don't know, I'm old and outdated, I guess. I'm embarrassed to hit like on some of them. It's amazing how much time flies. You know, every time I see a picture of something in there, it's something that you would have saved up for. Something that would have been a big purchase when it was new. And now, in your own lifetime, it's obsolete. You know, this world is fading away. There was a show on History Channel a few years back called Life After People. And it just did this imaginary thought process of if people disappeared, how long would it take for the world to go back to whatever the world goes back to? And it was amazing because within weeks, a lot of what we think of as life would be gone. Within years, we wouldn't even begin to recognize it. Within 100 years, maybe there would be one or two things in Philadelphia that you could even recognize. Everything else would just be forest. This world is fading away. A lot of stuff doesn't matter. What are the things of the world, these earthly treasures? Well, there's money. We live in a material world, and all day ads are trying to get you to part with your money to buy this or to buy that. Yet it's fading away. Our time can often be a thing of this world, depending on how we use it. Our time is valuable. I looked this up. The Phillies spent $173 million last season, or this season, to capture your attention. And I know the Yankees are worse offenders, but this points to how valuable your time is, that they would spend that much money to capture your time. But I don't need to tell you how valuable your time is. Most of you probably all live crunched lives where there's too many things to do, not enough time to do it. How do we squeeze everything in? And something has to get cut. What do you cut? See, this is a passage that talks about priorities. What are your priorities? Earthly treasures? Earthly things? Or heavenly things? You know, we like our diversions. I've noticed in youth group that if there's a lull for about 3 seconds, all the kids will be talking, and then if there's no talking for 3 seconds, everybody pulls out their cell phone at the same time. We like to be distracted. And I think the reason that we like to be distracted is we don't always want to think about heavenly things. Heavenly things aren't always fun for us to think about, especially when we're not really sure where we're sitting with God over some issue or another. We like our diversions, but we also have to recognize that they're fading away too. Now, I said that this isn't a guilt trip, and it's not. I no more think that all of you should spend all of your time at the church than that you should give up all your money. That's not how God intended it. God gave us healthy, happy diversions so that we could enjoy life. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. It's just a matter of priority. What are you chasing? What are you chasing in this world? Are you chasing things that don't really matter? Are you running after things that will lead to disappointment in the end? I'm sure you guys have all experienced that feeling of seeing something out there that you really wanted. Maybe when you were a child, Christmas time, birthdays, there was something that you really, really wanted. And then when you got it, you found out it wasn't as good as you thought. It just kind of disappointed you. How much of your time is spent chasing those things? And how much of your time is spent chasing eternal treasure that really matters? What is eternal treasure? In this passage, eternal treasure is people. People. We all have souls, and our souls will go on forever. Not only that, but when we invest in people, they turn around and invest in more people. It's a wise investment. People matter to God. And it's with that in mind that we come to our second passage. They were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Having worked with adults and children a lot in my life, I've noticed that there's a few big differences between adults and children, and one of the biggest ones is what happens when you tell them something that they don't realize or know that doesn't compute with how they understand the world. If you go to an adult who doesn't believe in God and has created their whole understanding of the world that there is no God, and you go up to an adult and you say, "You know there's God?" they're just going to ignore you. They're going to dismiss you as whatever. But if you go up to a child and say, "You know, there's a God," they're curious. "Tell me more about this God. I want to know." See, when we get to be adults, things that don't agree with us, things that we disagree with, we just have learned kind of to ignore. But kids, they know that they don't know much. And they want to learn all about the world. They want to learn everything they can. And so they're open. They're open to whatever you can give them. And that's why it's so important for us to give them good stuff, to make sure that we're feeding into them worthwhile, eternal treasures. Because believe me, at home and at school, they get plenty of preaching on worldly treasures. See, a lot of times people don't have a very high regard for children. Children should be seen and not heard. If children behave well, then they're silent. We don't want children in our way. And that's how the disciples were certainly feeling on this day. Here Jesus was, he had preached all day, he was blessing people, healing people, doing what Jesus did. And then people started bringing kids, little babies even, and said, I want to have Jesus bless my child. And the disciples said, oh, you don't understand. Our teacher is way too busy for this. He is way too important for this. He's got better things to do than to deal with children. That's what the disciples said. The disciples tried to push the kids away. But Jesus stopped them. Jesus said, you know, in your worldly way of looking at it, the kids aren't going to bring any money. The kids aren't going to bring any fame. The kids aren't going to bring, you know, they're just going to take up a bunch of time. And frankly, they'll probably forget most of what I say tomorrow anyway. That's the worldly way of looking at children. But Jesus understood the heavenly way of looking at children, and that's that these are valuable investments. There's no time in someone's life that they're more open to spiritual things than when you're a child. I had a professor once tell me that when you're talking with adults, the best question you can ask to start a spiritual conversation is, when did you stop believing in God? Because children just kind of naturally believe in God. That amazes. How can we not jump into those conversations? How can we not try and influence them? See, children are valuable because they're people. They're made in the image of God. They're valuable because they listen. They're the next generation, and the church is always one generation away from disappearing. But most importantly, children are valuable because they matter to God. See, people matter to God. People matter to God, and that's why they're valuable. You know, and I know that some of you have schedules that are full and probably won't be able to step up. And I know that some of you might not feel adequate to step up into certain roles, and that's fine too. God doesn't make everybody for every position. But I do want to encourage you to pray. How can I step up in this situation? How can I help out? How can I take my time, my money, what I have to invest, and invest it wisely? Invest it not in worldly treasures that fade away, but invest it in eternal treasure that makes a difference. And then if you do that, and you get frustrated or have difficulty, as is often the case when you are dealing with children, remember why you're doing it. You're not doing it because of an obligation. You're not doing it because it's just something to do. You're doing it because these are people, and people that matter to God. Now that said, that's sermon one. I quickly have sermon two. It's always hard when you're preaching what may be your last sermon to decide what you're going to preach. And one passage that I love and I just want to go to and share with you guys is in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. And it says, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident in this, that he who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be praying for you. Not because, you know, I'm not saying this, oh, you need prayer. No. I'm going to keep you in my prayers. And it's right that I should, because we've served together, we've loved one another. And for 5 years, what God was doing in my life and what God was doing in the life of this church came together. And it's been a wonderful time. It really has been a blessing. Charity managed to get back in here, and she can attest as well. We have really enjoyed our time with you. And so we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be looking back, remembering things well. Now, I know it hasn't been perfect every minute of our time here. And I'm sure on your end, there's been things that you can look at and say, well, Jason hasn't been perfect either. I'm going to ignore all that. I'm going to ignore all the bad times. Because I don't need to remember them. What I need to remember is that we serve together. And that we live together. And that we love together. And that God brought us together to accomplish a greater purpose. And we were able to accomplish it. So that's the first point. I thank God for you. And you guys are in my prayers. I also hope that you guys will be praying for me. I know that, frankly, this move is probably the biggest change in my career that I'm going to experience. Going from a youth pastor to a senior pastor, it's kind of, you hope that your training and what you've learned along the way will serve you, but you really don't know how well you're going to do. I had one of my mentors likened it to getting married. You know what marriage is supposed to be about, but you really don't know it until you get there. I imagine it's the same way having a baby. You know what it's supposed to be like, but you don't really know until you get there. And so I'm nervous. I know what it is supposed to be a pastor, but I don't know until I get there. So I appreciate your prayers. And I really mean that. We hope that we will live on in your memories and you will live on in ours. And until that time, when we get to be reconciled, until that time comes at the end of the world where we're all in one big room together and we can all see each other and all enjoy each other's company again, Paul gives us a really powerful statement reminding us where we are at. In Philippians 1:6, one of my favorite verses, I am confident in this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. See, none of us are perfect, and this church isn't perfect, and I'm not perfect, and Charity's not perfect, and none of us are perfect. But we're all works in progress, and we're all in God's hands. And you know what? Even with Charity and I leaving, the youth group at Alney is still in God's hands. All the stuff that we've done is still in God's hands. And there's a great comfort in that. Because God has promised to bring what we work on and who we are to completion before he returns. So with that said, I'll just sum up. Thank you for having us here. It's been a blessing. As we go on, I encourage you to keep your priorities straight, to focus on heavenly treasures, not earthly treasures. To give your money and your time wisely in heavenly ways. And remember us, pray for us, as we'll be praying for you. And then, even then, when we run into difficulties, to remember that we are all God's children. We are imperfect people trying to work for a perfect God, and He is perfecting us every day. And He is perfecting our work. So trust in that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for First Presbyterian Church of Alney. I thank you for the people here. I thank you for their love one for another that shows their true hearts. Lord, I thank you for their love for our community. For our neighbors who don't even step foot inside the door. Lord, I thank you that these people have a heart for for Almy. God, I pray as we move forward, as life moves on, that you would guide them, that you would direct them, that you would call them up to service, that you would strengthen them, that you would embolden them. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work the work that you're doing here. God, it's good work, and we've enjoyed it. But Lord, we just pray as it continues to go on, that you would be with each of the workers doing it. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.